The House will come to order. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list of Senate File 6, Senate File 10, Senate File 51, Senate File 55, and Senate File 67.
Are there any members wishing to remove any of the mentioned bills from the consent list? Hearing none, the reading clerk will read the bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Mental Health and Act relating to hospitalization of mentally ill persons, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 10, introduced by the Mental Health and Act relating to mental health and substance abuse appropriations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 51, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to the Game and Fish Mentor Hunter Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 55, introduced by Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to salaries of public officials, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 6, Senate File 10, Senate File 51, Senate File 55, and Senate File 67 passed the House. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Warren, White, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Blake, Stubson excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 10, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 51, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Lockhart? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 55, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 67, are there any changes? Gilmore, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 6, Senate File 10, Senate File 51, Senate File 55, Senate File 67 have passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Residential Mortgage Practices Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My very efficient filing system has left me. I'd like to propose third reading amendment number one. It's on page 13, and it adds back in two words, a statement. And I appreciate the delivery of a bill to me. I'm out of breath after two flights of stairs. We had some discussion yesterday about this one and the clarity of this particular provision. And I would like to suggest to you, I sent out a earlier form that shows how it gets into the proposed statute. And what it does is takes away the word any statement and then makes the bill read on page 13, line 10, make a statement or provide payment, whether directly or indirectly, of any kind to any in-house or fee appraisers for the purpose of influencing the independent judgment of the appraiser with respect to the value of the real estate which is to be covered by a residential mortgage loan. I believe that any was too broad for most of the people, and that a statement that is specifically to influencing their decision, I think, clears this up, and I would urge your support. And I move the amendment number one.
Further discussion. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and opposed to third reading amendment number one. Ladies and gentlemen, page 13, line 10 of the bill. Yesterday we took out the words any statement because I suggested to you that that was too broad and too vague and would just be a potential trap for anybody who might talk to an appraiser. And the term a statement to me is the same thing as any statement. And I think we're right back to the original language. The difference between a and any to me, there is no particular distinction. If it's a statement to influence an appraiser, then it's a statement to influence an appraiser. I still feel that the original intent of this paragraph talked about making payment. I mean, we all know that, you know, that's graft or bribery, and it's clear. I'm okay with or providing payment, too. Make or provide payment, that's fine. But now we're getting into any type of statement or a statement that could be construed as influencing the appraiser. There are all kinds of things that you could argue influence an appraiser, and I hate to put our licensees, whether they're a mortgage lender or a mortgage broker, in a position of having to defend themselves every time somebody thinks they've influenced an appraiser. I don't think it's fair, on and against.
Representative Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We visited a little bit with the Banking Association, and the reason that we have resubmitted this is because of some of the practices that the lenders and appraisers engage in. If an appraisal is done and the borrower is short of money, the lenders go back and ask the appraiser to raise the appraisal for that amount of money. It could be $5,000, it could be $6,000. And this is something we want to get away from. If you're talking about first or second time borrowers, $5,000-$6,000 on top of their existing loan can create some real financial hardship. And this is a practice that is done, is telling the appraiser to reappraise and kick that price up.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. Think about what we're regulating here and what kind of conduct we're regulating here. It says make a statement, whether directly or indirectly, of any kind to any in-house or fee appraiser for the purpose of influencing the independent judgment of the appraiser with respect to the value of the real estate which is covered by the residential mortgage loan. If the real estate appraiser says, do you know of any comparable sales that I can look at in your neighborhood? And the mortgage broker says, yeah, there are two or three of them. Look down at 500 Jones Street or 200 Elm Street. That is a violation of this section if this amendment goes through. And so when we make prohibited practices and cost people their livelihoods, because this is a prohibition in a practices act, I think we need to be very, very careful in the words we choose. And so I would urge the defeat of the amendment.
Further discussion? Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment, I'm going to encourage this body to pass this amendment. I do believe that there are times that go way beyond, I mean, there, just to say that the only way that you can influence the appraiser is by accepting payment is very limiting in how we determine how far they go with either in-house or fee appraisers. Now, this might not be the best language that we could have come up with, but I would really encourage the body to keep this language in this bill at this time, because to limit ourselves to say the only way that a mortgage lender or broker can influence an appraisal is by providing payment is just not being realistic about what we're dealing with. So on in favor of the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't heard anything this afternoon that would make me change my opinion about this. Right now, the statute says you have to make payment. We want to change it to you have to make any statement or a statement. Well, how about the seller or the buyer? When the buyer, the borrower, sees the appraisal and says, what? I can't borrow, you know, $80 gazillion because you won't appraise the house, and they talk to the appraiser. Is that a crime? If the mortgage broker were to say, or the lender were to say to the appraisal, are you sure you got that right? Is that a statement that's made to attempt to influence the appraisal? Well, sure, you could argue that. Look, these are independent certified appraisers. They have standards that they have to meet. Why are we shifting the burden now to the broker or the lender to make sure that the appraiser does their job right? They're independent appraisers. That's why they're hired. They are hired to set the value of the property. I'm sure that they're influenced by something or another in every single appraisal they do. But what happens if the appraiser gives an appraisal and the lender looks at it and says, That's not acceptable. Okay, there's a problem with it. I want you to go back and do a review appraisal. Is that a statement intended to influence the judgment of the appraiser? Well, quite probably. But why does the lender have to make a loan on something that they think is inadequate? So, still, this is a huge change. I understand that there are problems with appraisals and this whole mortgage industry, but this is not the way to do it. This is a third reading amendment, and we'll just open the door to any statement. If we need to address it, let's do it rationally with some kind of parameters, not just as it is now, on and against.
Representative Hales.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In visiting with the Banking Association, they are concerned about the type of statements that I just gave you because they're trying to eliminate appraisal fraud issues. And when a lender calls an appraiser and says the $100,000 appraisal needs to go to $105,000 or $110,000 so that we can make this loan for these people, that is fraud, and they do this.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the body to consider what's been said on this area, and that is that the preponderance of the testimony before the Minerals Committee during the interim was that these things happen. People encourage people to change their appraisals up. And I'd ask you to read the whole paragraph from line 10 to line 15. And if you do that, you'll see that a statement, the purpose of influencing the independent judgment of the appraiser. And if we don't think that's a problem, I think we are naive because it is a problem where lenders and others are leaning on the appraisers to change their appraisal. And that takes away the independence that we expect to avoid the kinds of inflated appraisals that can happen if you don't have a provision like this in there. I urge your support of this amendment.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44 has failed.
Division.
Division being called. All of those in favor of third reading amendment number 1, please stand. All of those opposed to third reading amendment number 1, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 44. Ladies and gentlemen, this was initially drafted into the second reading amendment number 1. I became a little confused and asked LSO to take it out. This does not delete anything from the bill. It simply it takes it out of the bill because all the bill did was renumber it, so it still remains in the statute, and this is a cleanup from the second reading amendment number 1.
Further discussion. The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 44. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed signify by saying no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 44 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 3. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We will stand at ease for exactly 1 minute.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you for that pause. I move third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 44 and would ask to divide the amendment. The first division would be lines 2 and 3. And then the rest of the lines 4 through 16 would be division 2. And, Mr. Speaker, the only reason I asked to do that is because Division 1, Lines 2 and 3 did not pass, so I guess there's nothing to delete. So I would just speak to Division 2, which is Lines 4 through 15. The chairman of the Lines 4 through 15 on the amendment. The first page 1, line 15 is simply a conforming amendment, and the amendment itself is, if you recall yesterday, we took out a paragraph about the licensee having to pay actual damages, and the chairman of the House Corporations Committee had an amendment this morning that I looked at, and he and I kind of collaborated on rewriting it to make it clear that the mortgage broker would be responsible for reimbursing for those things undisclosed or incorrectly disclosed pursuant to the statute that governs their disclosure, and then the mortgage lender would follow suit in the statute that tells what they need to disclose. If they violated that, they could reimburse. I think it's targeted enough, and it doesn't have any general reference, and it's not confusing to me, because the other one was confusing where it said a licensee could be responsible for actual damages. And I thought, well, a broker could be responsible for the damages of a lender and vice versa, and that wasn't right. I think this is targeted enough, and I would urge your support of the amendment.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As chairman of the Minerals/Corporations Committee, I rise in support of this amendment number 2. I think it does clarify the language and improves the bill. Urge your support.
So, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, as I understand it, Division 2 is lines 4 through 15.
Correct, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. The motion is to adopt Division 2 of Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 44. That is found on your amendment from lines 4 through 15. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to it signify by saying no. Then, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we need to dispose of Division 1. So if we could ask you to withdraw.
I withdraw Division 1 of Third Reading Amendment Number 3, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Without objection, Division 1, being lines 1, 2, 3, and 16, are withdrawn. Division 2 to Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 44 has been adopted. Senate File 44, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Esquivel F. Aye. Esquivel K. Aye. Gilmore. Aye. Gingery. Aye. Goggles. Aye. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. Aye. Harvey. Aye. Eichel. Aye. Illaway. Aye. Yagi. Aye. Jones. Aye. Jorgensen. Aye. Landon. Aye. Lockhart. Aye. Lubnow. Aye. Madden. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlick. Shepperson. Simpson. Slater. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Warren. White. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 5 noes.
Senate File 44, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 44 has passed the House. Representative Gilmore.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Certainly may.
Monday, you all know that I had problems, so I was late getting here. And in the meantime, this booklet was passed out, and I hope that no one else has spoken about it. But this was provided to us by the Alliance for Historic Wyoming, and it's really a good book, so I urge you to read it. Thank you.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Select Natural Resources, an act relating to wildlife and natural resource funding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 69, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Brechtel. Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, Esquivel F, Esquivel K, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlick, Shepperson, Simpson, Slater, Stewart, Stubson. Aye. Teeters. No. Thompson. Aye. Throne. Aye. Wallace. Aye. Warren. Aye. White. No. Swanitzer Dan. No. Swanitzer Dave. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Alden. Aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 14 noes.
Senate File 69, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 69 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker.
I respectfully request the House overturn the motion.
I withdraw the motion, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
House Enrolled Act No. 1 being Original House Bill No. 5, an act relating to gasoline tax distribution, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act No. 1 being Original House Bill 5. I have so signed. The next enrolled act will be House Enrolled Act Number 2.
House Enrolled Act Number 2 being original House Bill Number 7, an act relating to the Real Estate Commission, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 2 being original House Bill 7. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 3.
House Enrolled Act Number 3 being original House Bill Number 14, an act relating to nursery stock, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 3 being original House Bill 14. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 4.
House Enrolled Act Number 4 being original House Bill Number 25, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 4 being original House Bill 25. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 5.
House Enrolled Act Number 5 being original House Bill Number 31, an act relating to public health and safety, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 5 being original House Bill 31. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 6.
House Enrolled Act Number 6 being original House Bill Number 45, an act relating to film incentives, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 6 being original House Bill 45. I have so signed. I am about to sign House Enrolled Act. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 7.
House Enrolled Act Number 7 being original House Bill 64, an act relating to the state auditor, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 7 being original House Bill 64. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 8.
House Enrolled Act Number 8 being original House Bill Number 71, an act relating to public lands and fire suppression, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 8 being original House Bill 71. I have so signed. The next House Enrolled Act will be Number 9.
House Enrolled Act Number 9 being original House Bill Number 59, an act relating to the Personnel Opportunities Within Employment Responsibilities Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I am about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 9 being original House Bill 59. I have so signed. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 185. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 46, Abuse of Animals, ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 183, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 30, Modernization of Court Procedures. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 184, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 36, Uniform Law on Notarial Acts. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 186, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 78, County Road Fund. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 187. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 81, Community Colleges Capital Construction. Ayes 26, no 3, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 188. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 111, Board of Land Commissioners Conservation Easements. Ayes 25, noes 4, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, message 179. House Bill 9, Campaign Finance Reporting. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 20, noes 9, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 190. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 22, Failure to Observe Road Closure. Ayes 12, no 17, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, message number 191. House Bill 55, Water Well Drilling and Pump Installation Licensure. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 192, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 89, Ownership of Surface Poor Space. The House bill listed above passed on a third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 25 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 30, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed representing Edwards, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 76 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, signed Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 81, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, signed Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 66 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. No, Gingrey, Mercer. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 28, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson R., Escobel K., Gilmore, Madden, Miller, Semlek, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave, No, Lubno, signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 19 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 42 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, signed representing Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 56, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jorgensen, Peterson, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, signed representing Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 71, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White, signed representing McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 13 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Escobel, Kay, Hales, Allen, N. Harvey, Landon, Millen, Stewart, excused, Eichel, Lubno, signed Representative Landon, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 36 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Escobel, Kay, Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Stewart, excused, Eichel, Lubno. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 62, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Escobel, Kay, Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Stewart, excused, Eichel, Lubno, signed Representative Landon, Chairman.
Members of the House, we have a technical problem with the vote on Senate File 44. We took the vote, but for some reason it didn't capture it. We're going to ask your indulgence in voting again, but please be reminded to vote exactly the same way you did in the... We know what the vote total is, so if it comes out different, somebody's in trouble. Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to re-refer a bill, but we can wait till after the vote. Or otherwise, I would like to re-refer Senate File 62 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 62 is re-referred from Committee Number 10 to Committee Number 2. For those of you that are old enough, you might remember on your television sets, technical difficulties, please stand by. If the first vote is retrieved, that will be the vote that will stand, but we're assuming and hoping that the both votes will be the same. We are now going to take up, once again, the third reading vote on Senate File 44. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby, aye. Berger, aye. Blake, aye. Brechtel, aye. Brown, aye. Buchanan, aye. Childers, aye. Kraft, aye. Davison, aye. Dirks, no. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquivel F., aye. Esquivel K., aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, no. Yagi, aye. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubno, no. Madden, aye. Martin, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlek, Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, no. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, no. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, aye. Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes and 5 noes.
Members of the House, the vote did come out correct. We're satisfied that it's the same as the previous vote, and a hand tally was taken so that in the event there's something wrong with that bill, which some of you think there is, ultimately the computer will accept it. The naming of Conference Committee to Senate File 9 will be Representative Olson Chair, Representative Floyd Escobel, and Representative Gingrey. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Representative Millen.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for your consideration is Senate File 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming National Guard regarding life insurance contribution option. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Edwards, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Edwards?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole rise to support. Do so with a favorable consideration. Recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass. And, folks, this is a National Guard life insurance contribution option. You all have in your basket a rather detailed explanation of the bill. It's got my name on the top left-hand corner, Senate File 25 on the right-hand corner. This does not cost any money. It just allows some options for the various members of the National Guard as they participate in the National Guard Life Insurance Program and the Servicemen's Group Life Insurance Program. So if you go through that rather detailed explanation, I think it will become obvious to you that it is a nice thing to do for our National Guard members, and it does not cost us, the government, any money. So I urge your favorable consideration. If there's no further discussion, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Edwards' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 25 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 30, introduced by Senator Geis, an act relating to commercial vehicles. This bill was referred to Committee No. 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edwards, Escobel, F., Hallinan, Hammonds, Madden, Slater, White, Zwanitzer, Dave. Sign, Representative Edwards, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Edwards?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File No. 30 do pass. You have a handout on this particular bill, folks. It's pretty simple. It's a good explanation of why this is a desirable bill to pass, and I would hand it off to the good representative from House District 27 for further explanation of the bill.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Chairman. The bill you see before you is Senate File 30. You have the handout. Quite frankly, what it's doing, most of our counties, with the exception of two, have staggered licensing for your registrations. You can do it in various months throughout the year. And that same kind of staggering of licensing registration is not available for commercial vehicles. So for the last 4 years, there's a group that's been working on this issue, trying to provide the same opportunity. And so the county treasurers and the state of Wyoming and the state organization representing commercial vehicles has been talking, and they have come up with Senate File 30. As the good chairman represented, it's a straightforward bill. The two counties that do not currently have this staggered registration for their non-commercial vehicles do not have to do this system. That is their particular choice. What it means is, and the way that the current system has been working, is that if you have a commercial fleet of vehicles, you have to pay your registrations in the month of January. And it takes them a couple of months to process them, and that's why you'll see in the bill on page 2, the current language that has been stricken says that annually between January 1st through March 31st, vehicles are registered. And so that's what we're striking, and we're making it possible. If you can imagine, for many of our commercial trucking organizations, those are their low cash flow months, and it's very problematic that everything in their fleet has to be registered at that time, and all of those registrations have to be paid for. And so what this bill allows is that throughout the year, they can choose if they want to do their fleet all at once, the month in which they want to do that, if they want to have it staggered and paid throughout the year. In terms of administering it, it's of great benefit both to our county treasurers and to the state. As you can see on the handout, the magnitude of those that are currently being registered in terms of your counties, collectively the counties register 13,018 commercial truck plates and 11,668 commercial trailer plates. And so you can imagine the personnel issue that raises for them when they have to do all of that in the month of January and get it back to them and completed by March. And so this will allow them to evenly deal with it throughout the year. At the state level, they have to do it with interstate commercial vehicle registrations, and they do 20,000 plates per year that are issued by the state. And so they said it'll be much easier for them. When the committee asked if there would be additional costs with administering this program, they said that what they'll be able to do is be able to pay for the software by not having to pay overtime because of the additional personnel they've had to have on staff in the month of January and February. And so for those many reasons, it benefits the carriers, it fits better with their cash flow, and it really provides for a more efficient way for our county and our state government to be able to handle this particular thing. So at this particular point, I will stand for questions for anyone on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Edwards' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 30 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 30 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 76. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 76, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to private roads. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 76 do pass. And for explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over to the good representative from District 14.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in 249101 about private roads, a statute that has, if you look at the annotations, it has been liberally litigated, and more litigation springs up as we speak. Some of these cases, some of these private road actions have been extremely complicated and very strenuously litigated. The result of that is that they become a burden on county commissioners. And I've had a number of county commissioners in my county and the county on either side of me, one of them being this county, I've had those county commissioners tell me, well, I didn't really sign on for this. These have come to the point where I think the county commissioners are in what I would call a quasi-judicial capacity. And in the most extreme case, you have the parties, you have the commissioner sitting as a jury, you have a hearing officer, you probably have the county attorney. If he hadn't been disqualified completely out of the case, he probably sets his counsel for the commissioners, the hearing officers making the decisions, and it's quite involved. And sometimes they go for days and days. And there are basically two major hearings. There's some intermediate work that has to be done, but two major hearings that have to be held in regard to one of these, the first of which is commonly called the necessity hearing, and the second of which is commonly called the damages hearing. So what this bill says is it recognizes the fact that judges do this for a living. Commissioners have other things to do. They're long and involved, especially the damages part can be quite involved exercise for the commissioners. So what this bill says is, after the commissioners have the first hearing, which is called the necessity hearing, and find that necessity exists, and appoint viewers and appraisers to go out and view the property and determine what the route of the road ought to be and determine what the damages are going to be, that then this bill would then create a fork in the road for the commissioners at that point. They can keep the action and put themselves through the rush of the misery if they wish. Or in the alternative, for any of the reasons that are listed beginning at line 17 on page 2, that it's complex, it's likely there's going to be an appeal, there's significant factual or legal issues, the resolution of which may affect applicants for other private roads, or there are novel questions of law, and then in addition to that, there's also just good cause, which is in line 15 on page 2. If the commissioners find that any of those things exist, then at their option, at that point, they can, in the vernacular, kick it up to the district court, certify it to the district judge and say, look, you do this stuff for a living, you're around every day, finish this for us. And it would be a great advantage to county commissioners in many situations. It would unburden them from having to sit through the second hearing, the damages hearing, hear all that evidence, be subjected to all the motions and the delaying tactics and the maneuvering that goes on with heavily litigated matters, and then ultimately sitting as a jury and making a decision and understanding that that will probably be appealed. It leaves the choice with them whether they send it up to the district court or not, but it gives them the option to send it up to the district court. And I do believe, this question will probably come up, I do believe that in a lot of instances they're going to have the attorneys for parties involved in heavily contested cases asking them to kick it up to the district court. And that could be an influence on the commissioners. But it's going to be the commissioner's choice whether it goes up or not. And so if it does go up, then the district court follows the statute, does the same thing that the commissioners would do, probably sits as a fact finder and doesn't have to have a jury. And the advantage, I think, to the parties would be that it would be much more expeditious, and they would have a trained legal mind who's actually making the decisions, making the determination, writing the findings of fact, or entering the order and doing all those sorts of things that commissioners now hire a hearing officer to do. So I think that's my explanation of the bill, Madam Chairwoman, and I would stand for questions.
Representative Semlich.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Question for the floor manager in regard to his statement about being much more expeditious, the process. I'm just curious to know his opinion on currently there's a timeline, 20 days here, 30 days here, that marches the commissioners through this process. If they certify it to the district court, in some cases would that likely delay the timeline maybe a great deal in some cases for the applicant to get remedy for his private road?
Representative Brown.
Madam Chairwoman, quite to the contrary. I think that kicking it up to the district court would expedite the process. One of the problems that we run into in these private road actions is that the commissioners typically only meet once a month. Now, a lot of commissioners meet twice a month. I even heard about one set of county commissioners that apparently meets once a week. But that doesn't mean that they're going to do this kind of stuff in any one of those meetings. Typically, the off meetings are for some particular kind of business. I know in some counties they travel and meet in a completely different community, and they're trying to be sensitive to local needs and do all sorts of things. So, and that's been one of the problems with commissioners is that they don't meet often enough. And so you get some little glitch, and it slips another 30 days, and I'll tell you, 6 months can creep into one of these things just almost through inadvertence, just with a little bit of delaying tactics, a motion that doesn't get decided, then a notice gets sent, something happens, the hearing doesn't happen, then the notice has to be sent again. And at least with the court, you have a judge who's there full-time, he's running a full-time calendar. Granted, there are some delays with the judge, but on balance, in my opinion, in most instances, it would expedite it. And I think that's probably the biggest reason a lot of attorneys would like to have the option to get it up to the district court.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to support this wholeheartedly. My experience in testifying has mainly been in these kinds of cases, and they're awful. The county commissioners don't like them. They're not trained to deal with them. Scheduling does suffer as a result of that. I think everyone would be better served, the parties to the dispute and the county, in resolving these in a forum appropriate to the issues. I urge you support this legislation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Gingery.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of the bill. I've done quite a few of these hearings as the attorney for representing the commissioners. And I have to just tell a quick story on the gentleman that just spoke. He was a expert witness in one of these cases, and the question was, they were debating the necessity hearing, and there was a cliff and whether or not you could build the road up the cliff. And the good gentleman that just spoke, his testimony as an engineer was, well, yeah, you could build the road there. And the attorney that was cross-examining was getting very indignant with him and says, trying, very frustrated that he would even say that you could build a road up it. And so he finally says, well, could you build a road up to the top of the Grand Teton? And the good gentleman that just spoke said, I'm an engineer. You give me enough time and money, I can build anything.
Question.
Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, it just looks to me like the Once this is certified by the county commissioners, does the court then have to hear it? Because in appropriations, we keep hearing how these courts are overloaded and they need more judges, and I just wonder what that's going to do to these court dockets.
Representative Brown.
Well, Madam Chairman, Chairwoman, I think the answer to that is that this bill provides that the district court shall treat the certified application as a newly filed civil action upon payment of the filing fee. And I think when the court, I think that that directs the court to take jurisdiction. I think they have to proceed with it. If somebody has some doubts, they might make an amendment to make it more clear, but I think the district court has to assume it at that point and proceed with it. I hope.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You know, it seems to me that the problem with these hearings for the commissioners are the determination of damages often, not whether or not there's a legally enforceable access. So you can meet the first test typically, and then they really struggle on at times with, first of all, finding the viewers and appraisers who are willing to do it, and then relying on that. This doesn't change the process of the viewers and appraisers. The district court would be looking at the same type of, you know, realtors, someone out there who might have a concept of market value. Do you think that if there's a determination in the county, in the commissioner's level, that the damage is $20,000, and the applicant can't pay it, that still doesn't mean they don't have a legally enforceable access, right? So why not allow them to make that determination? And then if the commissioners have a problem with the damages and one party wants that immediately reviewed, then that could go to district court instead of, you know, the whole process. Because I could envision some cases just being or all county commissioners or the county commission in one county referring every single private road case they have to district court because they don't want to do it. And that's not the intent of the statute. So is there another way to approach this where we could I think it's reviewable anyway to district court, their determination. If they make a final determination of damages and no legally enforceable access, you can immediately review that. So I'm a little concerned that we might be delaying the process, even though it is difficult for the county commissioners.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I think the answer to that, well, part of the answer, maybe part of your question, but I think the answer to that's in 249103C. And that says, after the Board of County Commissioners, and of course the District Court now is going to be substituted for the Board of County Commissioners, after the Board of County Commissioners has received proof of payment by the applicant of any damages and costs ordered to be paid, the board shall cause a certified copy of the order to be filed with the Register of Deeds declaring the road to be a private road and citing in the order any conditions imposed by the board. And I think the answer is it's not a private road until those damages are paid, and I don't think that an applicant accrues a legal right-of-way until those damages are paid. So if they can't pay them, I think the thing just stalls out. It does, however, though, Madam Chairwoman, bring up an interesting question under 249103B, which says the applicant and any other person aggrieved by the action of the board, including the amount of any damages awarded, may appeal to the district court at any time within 30 days from the date of the order. And I think the answer to that is in the rules of appellate procedure, which sort of stack the courts up vertically and say, if you're done with the circuit court, if you're in the circuit court, the district court's essentially an intermediate court of appeals. And if you're in the district court, there's no intermediate court of appeals, and you have an appeal as a matter of right to the Supreme Court. And I think that under the rules of appellate procedure, if the district court sets in the place of the Board of County Commissioners, then I think it's a direct appeal to the Supreme Court from the determination of the district court. Once the applicant's paid his money, the court records the order, then it would be an appeal to the Supreme Court as a matter of right.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 76 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 76 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 81, introduced by Senator Peterson, an act relating to fire protection districts. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yeagie, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 81 do pass. And I will, there are no amendments, and I'll turn the discussion of the bill over to the good representative from Bighorn County.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Before the representative from Bighorn County explains the bill, I would like to insert a couple bills on general file below Senate File 66. Insert Senate File 13 and Senate File 36. And we'll insert a few more after that. Thank you.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a really simple little bill. A year ago, we dealt with giving fire districts the ability to split, and in that the bill worked. The fire districts that wanted to have accomplished that, it's been a very amicable divorce, but the county assessor figured out that we omitted one little issue, and that is, does the new fire district become a new district? And if it does, it has to wait a year to receive any tax money. Well, these fire people have been paying, the taxpayers have been paying into this district all along, and now they just are asking for fire protection in the meantime. So the fix that has been proposed, actually, if you look on page 3, lines 5 through 9, it says new fire district protection districts created by a division of a fire protection district pursuant to statute 35.9.212 through 35.9.215 shall not be treated as a new or reorganized taxing entity for purposes of this bill. And what this does is simply allows them on July 1st to receive the taxes for the part, it allows each fire district to receive the taxes for the land that is within that fire district. I'd urge your aye vote on this.
With no further discussion on the bill, are you ready for the question?
Madam Chairman.
I'm sorry. Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As you know, I was very involved in this legislation being passed last year and so on, and I would encourage you to vote for this. This allows the separation to go ahead and allows this new so-called district to receive funding at the time that they should. So I encourage you to vote for this bill.
So with question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 81 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 81 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to declare a conflict on Senate File 81. And I would also like to insert after Senate File 36, Senate File 63, Senate File 87, and Senate File 22. So, Madam Chairman, after Senate File 66 on the list, we've got 13, 36, 63, 87, and 22.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 66. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 66, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to community juvenile services. This bill was referred to the Committee Number 1 Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. No, Gingrey, Mercer. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Buchanan?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 66 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, but there are a couple of Committee of the Whole amendments that I'll explain in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, the Community Services, Juvenile Services Bill that you see before you was an interim study topic by the Joint Judiciary Committee, and its main goal was to take a look at providing consistent juvenile services at the local level and, among other things, to develop a system whereby there would be a central intake and assessment of kids that were at risk for coming into contact with the juvenile court. And so what we did after looking at all kinds of different options, we realized that in Title 14 we already had a mechanism or framework called Community Juvenile Services Boards. And so what we did is we took that program had never been funded, and we took that and kind of fine-tuned it a little bit to try and accomplish some of the things we were looking for. And so if you look on pages 2 and 3, you'll see that we changed the membership of the Community Juvenile Services Board to include representatives from all kinds of different places that regularly deal with kids. And we also made in the definition portion under juvenile services, made it clear that we wanted pretrial diversion programs to be considered as well as graduated sanctions. This on page 4 and 5 sets up a grant eligibility criteria and how applicants at the local level could apply for funds to create this assessment program. Because at the end of the day, we all decided that it would be the local governments that would be best able to determine what they would need, what kinds of programs they would need, services for kids unique to their own community. And in fact, a lot of communities are already doing their own thing very successfully. Others have not started anything and simply needed funding. So as you can see here, the grant eligibility is spelled out on page 5 of the bill and continuing on to page 6. It has $2 million in it, but these are monies that were saved by the Department of Family Services. And so basically, actually in your engrossed copy, the appropriation is out of there, and you'll remember we did a third reading budget amendment saying that the Department of Family Services had to use $2 million of their funding for this program. But a little history was is that they had saved that much money back, and so when we created this program, we were doing it with money, no new money, basically. And so that's where that's how it's funded. You can see here there's some reporting that's required to the Joint Judiciary Interim Committee and appropriations no later than June 30th, 2009. And then there's one other thing I thought. And you probably don't even notice in there, but in the engrossed version, the probation officer definition has been removed because that was an expensive proposition. If you looked at the fiscal note on this, like very expensive, and so we took that out. And so all you're looking at is $2 million that was already in the Department of Family Services budget.
I would answer any questions at this point on the bill, but if there aren't any, I'd like to move committee of the whole amendment number one to Senate File 66. This is kind of a technical correction. If any of you, I think it was Senate File 38, and I may be wrong, that came over that was sponsored by some folks with some mental disabilities, and their goal was is to try to have some more sensitive language put into the law, and when that passed or came out of the Senate, it kind of made an inconsistency in some of our language, because we referenced, as you can see on the amendment, seriously emotionally disturbed youth. And so we're just trying to, with that amendment, take that language out to be consistent with what they're trying to do in that Senate file. And so if there are any questions on the committee of the whole amendment number one to Senate File 66, I'd call for the question.
All those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number one to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The amendment is adopted. I believe we have a committee of the whole amendment number two, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. As I'm sure most of you know, juvenile matters, when they are in district court, are treated with confidentiality. The purpose of this bill is to allow local entities to establish various diversion programs in order to keep children out of the need of going to juvenile court. But we would like to have some assurance of confidentiality for the various counseling and intake sessions that occur or that may occur in the various local programs. So this makes it a requirement that before the Department of Family Services can approve a program, that the program, the local entity, have procedures in place for confidentiality. And I would move the amendment and ask for your favorable consideration.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 66, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We're back on the bill. If there's any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 66 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 66 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is a standing committee amendment on Senate File 87 that has not come out onto the floor yet. So those of you concerning or that are involved with Senate File 22, we may go right from 63 to 22. Just wanted you to be aware. Madam Chairman, that standing committee amendment may be on the floor for 87. So if it is, we'll proceed with that in order.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 13, introduced by Mental Health, an act relating to Mental Health Professions Practices Act. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that do pass. Ayes, Escobel K, Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Stewart. Excused, Eichel, Lubno. Signed, Representative Landon. Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Landon?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File do pass. There are no standing committee amendments. And I hand over the explanation of the bill from the good representative from the best county in the state of Wyoming.
Representative Eichel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We'll accept that. Senate File 13, I move Senate File 13, and This is a revision of the Practice Act, the Mental Health Professions Practice Act, which came to the Select Committee during the interim in part because of the topic of workforce shortages that was on the agenda for the Select Committee. And actually what this bill does more than anything else is it frees up some of the restrictions that had to do with hiring qualified professionals and healthcare providers as would be licensed under this act, while at the same time protecting the integrity of the recruitment and assuring that we had qualified people. There are three parts to this, and one has to do with certified social workers, certified personnel, and clearing up a catch-22, and I want to refer to that on page 2. In the small b and small letter c, those are pertaining to certified social workers at the bachelor's level in terms of b, and certification of addictions practitioners in C. Currently, applicants for certification at the bachelor's and associate's degree level must have a designated clinical supervisor in order to become certified. And that creates a catch-22 because in most cases they can't arrange for a designated clinical supervisor until they are able to secure employment. This change gives the board the authority to grant the certification to an applicant without the designated clinical supervisor already in place, while clarifying that those persons must practice under clinical supervision. I will stand for questions on that. I'd like you to have you switch over to the back, however, and that also applies to N on page 5 with regard to the certified addictions practitioner. That's the same explanation for that provision. Beyond that, on the bottom of page 2, we move to provisional licensure, and the changes in that are to allow for the person who is explicitly qualified by virtue of their education and coursework and application, other than having one or two courses perhaps that need to be made up and make it similar to the requirements that we have in Wyoming. In the current situation, they aren't able to come and practice as a fully qualified professional that they are. And if they are hired, they're only able to work at a lower level. And this allows qualified personnel to come and to make up that shortage in the next, in the next period of time. At this point, I'm just forgetting what that period of time is, that they'll be able to make that up, and during which time they have provisional licensure. Then we go to reciprocity, and that starts on page 5 at the bottom, and that has to do with a person who is an applicant for licensing in Wyoming who has a license in good standing and has been engaged in practice in another state in a licensed way and also similarly has licensure requirements that are substantially similar to those required by this act but may be lacking in some particular area that is not of such substance to disallow them to practice as a fully accomplished professional that they are. So this again gives them the ability to get those requirements up to date and at the same time be working in Wyoming. Essentially that is the revisions of the Practice Act, and I stand for questions.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I am married to a conflict of interest and would therefore like to declare the same.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 13 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 13 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill, the next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 36, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health and safety regarding emergency volunteers. This bill was referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Escobel K., Hales, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Stewart, excused, Eichel, Lubnow, signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Landon?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when a Committee of the Whole rise and report, to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass. Madam Chairman, since you were supposed to do this bill currently occupied, I'll go ahead and explain the bill. This bill has to do with providing immunity to responders to healthcare emergencies while they are providing services during those emergencies. This is an effort to protect people who are retired or inactive and get them back on the front lines when a public health emergency occurs in Wyoming and we need them. To explain this just a little bit, I hope some of you went to that hoof and mouth disease presentation the other day to get an idea of what a public health emergency would look like. That happened to be with livestock, but a public health emergency in a human population would be pretty similar. The one that's on the horizon, of course, is bird flu. It's estimated that if there's an outbreak of that, 20 to 30% of the population will come down with it. It currently has a mortality rate of around 50%, but that's expected that in a larger sample it'd be about 33%. It's just it's a type of thing that's almost unimaginable. If Wyoming gets it, so will all our neighboring states get it, and so there will not be the ability to bring in doctors and nurses from adjacent states, as everybody will be. In an emergency situation, there'll probably be a lot of quarantines and that sort of thing. So in order to have and enlist help to deal with this emergency situation, this bill proposes that retired or inactive licenses can be reinstated, and those people could go to work, and they would be immune from acts that they commit, that unless they're just grievous, and it says that in the bill, from the care that they give. It's actually kind of similar to the immunity that we give doctors who work in free clinics right now, who are volunteers. First off, I should say something about the public health emergency. That is defined. If you'd like to look it up, it's in 35.4.115A1. It is something that the governor declares, and it's not your garden variety public health emergency. I'm just saying, looking real quick to see if there's something else I should say in here. This is also, I should say, that the nursing board and the board of health are on board as far as making rules that'll allow this temporary licensure to be easily done. The Department of Health has done a lot of preparation for this. We asked them if they had a little box on the shelf that said, in case of bird flu, open this box. And it's not quite that easy, but they've been doing a lot of preparation because if this happens, they will need to have immediate and fast response, and they have prepared for it. So I'd stand for any questions.
With no other discussion on the bill, are you ready for the question?
Question
being called. All those in favor of Chairman Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 36 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 36 is passed the Committee of the Whole.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I would like to add another bill to the list after Senate File 22, Senate File 53.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 63, introduced by the Select Natural Resources Committee, an act relating to Wyoming wildlife natural resource funding. This bill was referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, excused, Eichel. The bill was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, sign representing Philp, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 63 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I'll turn the bill over to the good representative from House District 46 to explain the bill.
Representative Slater.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Ladies and gentlemen, I have here Senate File 63. What this bill does, any bill, any project that the Wildlife Trust Fund has that's over $200,000 has to be approved by this body. You should have all received one of these colored brochures that explained the 12 projects that we're going to talk about today. And what I would like to do is have you approve that funding, which comes from the earnings of the Wildlife Trust Fund Trust. And that amount is about $230,000. Let's see if that's right. Yeah. $230,000 from that trust fund to pay these the 12 projects that I have here today. If I don't have any further questions in this regard, I'd call for the question.
With no other discussion, question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it...
Point of order.
Representative Childers. I'm sorry, Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, you, House Bill 63, we move through the whole bill and vote on it in the entirety. I mean, he can discuss each one of the various sections and, to explain the bill, but after he discusses all 14 projects, then we'll ask for, we can ask for questions in each one of the sections, but, after he explains all 14, then we would vote on the bill.
Okay. Representative Slater.
Madam Chairwoman, my dollar amount was wrong. That's what caused the confusion here. I'm sorry. It's $2,942,420 to cover all 12 projects. If anybody wants me to go in more detail about each one, I'd be happy to do so. Otherwise, I'd call for the vote on the appropriation.
Okay, question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 63 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 63 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 87. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 87, introduced by Senator Mockler, an act relating to administration of government regarding Capitol building restoration. This bill was referred to Committee No. 2 Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Childers?
Madam Chair, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 87 do pass. And I further, I'd turn the podium over to the good Chairman of Appropriations to cover the Standing Committee amendment. And after that, I'd turn the podium over to the good representative from House District 42 to explain the bill.
Chairman Philp.
Madam Speaker and Madam Chairman, what this does is strips the appropriation of $3 million, but we were assured by our fiscal analysts on the staff that that would not affect the ability of this committee that's established in this bill to do their work, as they will still have access to the money that has already been appropriated, which is approximately $30 million. So they will have plenty of money at least to do their work until we come back again for planning and so forth. So I would ask for your favorable consideration of this Standing Committee amendment.
You have heard the motion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 87. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 87 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Philp, Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sorry for the little confusion, but it was heard in one committee, went to Appropriations, had an amendment, and now it's back to me. This is on the Capitol building restoration. We've talked about it a little bit during the budget, but this creates a joint legislative and executive task force to carry out Capitol building rehabilitation and restoration, and we'll talk about that inside the bill. It creates the Capitol building rehabilitation and restoration account, specifies the use of funds. The task force shall be comprised of a representative of the five statewide elected officials, one member of the Senate, one member of the public appointed by the President of the Senate, one member of the House, and a member of the public appointed by the Speaker of the House, staff member from the State Historic Preservation Office appointed by the Director of State Parks, member of the public appointed by the Governor, and these members then will appoint a chairman. And the task force, and that's on page 3, shall oversee the design, planning, and construction of rehabilitation and restoration of the Capitol building as it determines appropriate for a modern working office building while preserving historic features of the building. The restoration and rehabilitation shall be designed and planned to be completed by December 31, 2012. That task force will develop rehabilitation and restoration priorities for the State Capitol building. It will contract for the performance of any function to carry out its duties, including the employment of consultants and other professionals. And it will report its findings to the State Building Commission. It will submit specific project recommendations, and it will recommend to the Management Council statutory changes that may be required to implement project recommendations. Staff support for the task force will be by the Department of A&I, Administration and Information, and on page 4 in the middle it talks about how those folks and the legislative members are paid. On page 5, line 7, the task force shall terminate on December 31, 2012. And on J, line 10, page 5, there's created the Capitol Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account.
Funds in the account shall only be expended upon appropriation by the legislature to implement projects recommended by the task force and approved by the legislature. On page 6, paragraph A was deleted by the JAC. The bottom of page 6, line 14, becomes A. There's appropriated $50,000 from the general fund to the Legislative Service Office, shall be used for the period beginning with the effective date and ends June 30th, 2012, and is for the legislative appointees. On page 7, little c becomes little b. $7 million is appropriated and shall be transferred on July 1, 2008, from the Capitol Building Restoration Account created by the 2006 session laws as amended, and it will go to the Capitol Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account created by this act. Additionally, $20 million is appropriated and shall be transferred on July 1, 2008, from the Capitol Complex Construction Account created by the 2006 session laws, and that will also go to the Capitol Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account. We ended up with several accounts. We all knew what we were doing. The money was saved, and it is a start towards the restoration and rehabilitation of the Capitol Building. I call for the question on Senate File 87.
Representative Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm just needing a little clarification why we need another committee. I guess I thought possibly we already have a committee that handles all of our construction needs, and they should be able to handle another building, in my opinion. But maybe you could clarify that for me just a little more, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I think this is an extremely important Senate file, and it should be supported wholeheartedly. We have a wonderful building here. It's old. We've heard part of the story from the good chairman of our, I'll back up, the good representative from House District 42, but the management council's also heard this story. There's been different presentations on this. We've tended to ignore the importance of getting started now and doing it right. I would urge your support of this bill, and I think it's well thought out, and it's one that we need to start on this year.
Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To answer the question from the good representative from District 9, A&I Construction Management does a wonderful job of constructing office buildings and so forth. But this Capitol building is a historic building, and that takes a historical architect and other folks that understand that type of architecture to sit down and plan what needs to be done. There's an awful lot of places in this building that needs to be looked at and worked on. The plan needs to be started now. You just don't walk into the Capitol building and say, well, now we're just going to start. It's going to take planning. It's going to take an architect. We will already be starting on some of it after this session, because the skylights above you will be eventually open to the sky probably by the middle of June. That's a portion of the restoration. We need to do the rest of the building. We have hired in the past a space consultant to see what the legislature needs on these floors 2 and 3. The space consultant has met, I think, with the 5 electeds and to see what they need on the first floor. We need to work on the basement, but it's all historical, and it all takes a special architect and some of those historical folks.
Chairman Philp.
Well, I too would ask for your support of this, because it's a big project, and it's going to take a lot of planning and oversight and coordination between the 5 elected officials and the legislative branch, because they're all in this building. And it's going to take a lot. It's a big project. And it is a very special building, and we need to be sure and do it right. So I would ask your support for this bill.
Okay, with a question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 87 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 87 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 22. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 22, introduced by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school capital construction. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yeagie, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 22 do pass. And I further move adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And, Madam Chairman, I would like to divide the Standing Committee amendment. On the first page, lines 10 through lines 13 would be the first division, and the rest of the amendment would be the second division.
I never did find my stuff, so if I can put on your bill when we get to that point.
All right.
Could you go ahead and speak on then your first division?
Madam Chairman, on page 5, line 7, we, after school, insert a period and delete lines 8, 9, and 10. And, Madam Chairman, what that does... This is a Senate amendment that was added to the bill, and it had a caveat in it that a charter school had to be in operation for 5 years before that we could pay the lease payments on it. This eliminates that 5-year waiting period. And I'd urge the body to vote yes on this amendment, or I'll stand for questions on it.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to, whether you vote for this or not, today doesn't matter, but I would tell you tomorrow, this whole charter school issue is a Senate amendment that was brought into this bill, and I'll address that tomorrow with amendment to really take out all that language, because it really, I think, wasn't part of the whole bill over the interim, and it kind of came in on the Senate side, is my understanding. And so regardless of what you do today, I think the whole thing needs to exit tomorrow. So just kind of giving you the heads up on that. So go ahead, I guess, with the chairman and vote aye on this. Thank you.
Call a question.
Okay. Question being called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 with Division Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, the Division Number 1, has passed. The Committee of the Whole, we're on Division Number 2. Chairman McComey.
Madam Chairman, Division Number 2 will be explained. It comes on at the end of the bill, and I will have the bringer of that amendment explain that bill at the time. I will explain the bill right now. I'll start through the bill. And, Madam Chairman, this school facilities amendment increases the commission's authority in local facility planning process and a plan development, and it eliminates basically that 2-year cycle that's there. We are now working with the schools within the plan. You've been hearing about the school facilities plan and the cooperation that's been developed with all 48 school districts. This is part of that process that allows them to work and keep updating this plan on a regular basis. The second thing it does, it expands the allowable expenditures from major maintenance accounts by granting additional authority to the commission through rule and regulation. In the past, there's been a certain amount of the major maintenance that could be expended. It had to come through and be acted upon by the commission. The commission, by rule and regulation, now can set certain things that the major maintenance account can be spent without. There, otherwise, you don't have to bring it back to the commission before it can be the work can be done. Third, it grants the commission authority to approve construction and renovation agreements for facility projects. Something that was farther down the you might say the cycle, and they get involved in it this earlier and earlier, so that we don't have these where they get to a certain point and then the commission says no, this doesn't fit the criteria. So they step in earlier, working with them. It goes back to the cooperative systems that they've developed with working with the districts. It eliminates the statutory distinction between minor and major capital construction as a project remedy. In the past, you had major, which could be something major, a $400,000-$500,000 roof and a $100,000 boiler. It brings all that in together and is one instead of having two categories in their budget. It brings all that in. It expands the commission's authority for site purchases and acquisitions. And that follows along with the budget amendments that have been put in and that we have now placed money in the budget, the school facilities, to help to work with the communities on running water lines, sewer lines, streets, and allows them to work with agreements with the local communities. It carries a separate account for emergency needs and carries forward a separate line item within the commission budget. So instead of it just being something that hangs out there, it now has this line item within the commission budget. And the commission anticipates that budget will carry amounts commensurate with the previous emergency account levels. So if something, some type of an emergency occurs, there's this amount of money that sits there that they can use that doesn't take money away from the construction projects that they've got in line and going. It eliminates superfluous, thank you, and fully executed provisions and accordingly modifies annual reporting requirements to the select committee. So there was a lot of reporting. You've all heard districts complaining about all the reporting and all the different things, and this is an attempt to modify some of that and brings the information more directly to the commission or to the select school facility select committee. The Senate amendments, as I've already described on the first change in the split in the amendment, provides for lease payments agreements if the square footage of the leased facility is not included in the district's major maintenance square footage. And what that means is that if they're making the lease payments, they will structure their leases so that the landowner of that property is responsible for those maintenance requirements. The commission will not be required to spend major maintenance money on that. We have some existing leases out there right now, and they might not have this kind of a requirement, so they're... It also allows for some of those we can participate to a certain extent, whatever the commission would feel before the lease is renegotiated, to provide some of that maintenance to make that facility a good facility for the students to operate in. And then, last but not least, it allows for the payment of lease payments for the charter schools and allows for the inclusion of the charter schools leased space square footage within the district major maintenance computations to the extent the major maintenance is not covered by the agreement, which I already discussed when I was doing the other two. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Page 6 of the bill, I think, is just what the good chairman mentioned, where this This page 6, lines 14 through 24, it talks about the gross square footage of any school, building, or facility leased by a district shall not be included within the district's total gross square footage unless the agreement is for the operation of any charter school established under those sections, and then only to the extent major maintenance is not covered under 10A, Roman numeral 10. And when I look at 10A10 on page 3, at line 9, it says, the lease agreement shall require the lessor to adequately maintain the building and facilities in accordance with the standards. So how can you – that seems odd that you would cover major maintenance only to the extent major maintenance is not covered under that section cited, but that section cited requires the lessor to cover it.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. And we have existing leases at the present time. If they have not come up and been renegotiated, there might be some major maintenance needs to be expended at that time. Does that answer your question?
Chairman Landon.
Apparently not. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I didn't quite understand that major maintenance on leased facilities. Do you mean that if school districts lease a facility, they can also claim that square footage in that leased facility and receive maintenance money, and with that maintenance money, maintain that leased facility?
Chairman McComey.
I think I got your question. Was the district will receive maintenance money for this lease facility, and with that they can yes, if in fact the lease agreement has not been perfected, where the landholder is responsible for these, then in fact they will receive some square footage computation for major maintenance until such time as a new lease is perfected.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chairman, it seems like that is a situation that could be open to quite a bit of abuse, especially if you had school district employees or people associated with the school district build facilities to lease back to the school and then also receive and have those facilities improved by major maintenance money.
Chairman McComey.
All new leases have to have this with them. They have to have the agreement that the owner is responsible for the major maintenance. Does that answer your question? And there are, with the fact that we're not able to keep up with, we have Carbon, we have Campbell, we have Sweetwater, Green River. We've got all kinds of kids out there in these modular classrooms right now those are leases too. And those classrooms are leases, and so this covers some of that. It gets confused with the Senate amendment about the charter school.
Chairman Landon.
Well, Madam Chairman, the type of situation that I'm familiar with and most concerned with actually has to do with a bus barn that the district leases. And this facility happens to be an old barn, and it would take a tremendous amount of maintenance if the school district chose to pay for it instead of having the lessor responsible for that. There was actually a consideration of building a new one by one of the people who worked for the school district, and so I didn't want that to be for us to build in a conflict of interest or a temptation that you couldn't resist.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you. These have to come back through the commission. Any of these major maintenance expenditures for something like this have to come back through the commission, and they're scrutinized by the commission.
Representative Teeters, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, why didn't we just put a timeline in here that, after January 1, 2009, every lease agreement has to require the lessee to adequately maintain the buildings and facilities. I understand that there may be some out there that are currently under lease. You know, are they long-term leases? We still set the reimbursement under major maintenance regardless of what a lease might say, so we can influence that contractual arrangement in some respects. But when I look at line 12 through 16 on page 3, the district shall be reimbursed for the lease payment if the square footage of the leased facility is not included within the district's total square footage for purposes of major maintenance. But then back over to page 6, it's not included unless the lease doesn't, major maintenance is not covered under the lease agreement. It just seems kind of odd and circular to me. But I won't have any further comment on that. As I understand it, there might be an amendment coming on second reading.
Chairman McComie.
Well, thank you. And I will get a hold of the School Facilities Commission. This is their language. And clear that up a little bit. Madam Chairman?
Yes?
Is there any more questions on what I've explained? Madam Chairman, I would then turn the explanation of the rest of the Standing Committee amendment over to the good gentleman from just up the road, and he will explain his amendment and what it does.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As I go through the Standing Committee amendment, before I start, I think what I'd like to do is give everybody a brief history about the circumstance that this amendment tries to address. As many of you know, we have switched directors of the School Facilities Commission last spring. During that process, we have also changed the way that we prioritize schools for construction in the state of Wyoming. The problem is, when we switched directors and we switched systems, there were some schools that were inadvertently funded by this body that were not completed and were subsequently reprioritized because of the new system. This amendment attempts to clean that up, give the School Facilities Commission a clean slate so that they can proceed from this point forward without having projects that are still inadvertently uncompleted. I'll walk you through the amendment real quickly. It's pretty simple. I know it doesn't look simple, but I will summarize it for you. The School Facilities Commission shall proceed with those school capital construction projects which were prioritized for funding by the commission, by this body, in 2007 and for the 2007-2008 biennial budget, that were prioritized by the commission again in the 07 supplemental, but were subsequently reprioritized. That's the little group of schools that I'm trying to address, those that were funded by this body with the intention of construction for those two biennials, but were subsequently reprioritized. It actually affects two schools, one of which is in my district. What has happened, essentially, the condition of the building, both of these buildings, in my understanding, is that they were determined to need replaced, but now we have a new equation in the formula that also accounts for density. So essentially, we are saying that because we're overcrowded, that we are going to have to endure deplorable and potentially dangerous environmental hazards. These conditions are substantial. The children in my elementary school that I represent are subjected to asbestos, raw sewer gas. Handicapped children must be carried to the second floor of the building. And the last time they tried to do a fire drill, the building actually caught fire from an electrical short circuit. So the need was real, and I think when the last School Facilities Commission addressed the needs of that building, they were looking at how bad it was. They weren't looking at all the other conditions. They were just seeing that this building is not a safe place for children to learn, and that it is now the responsibility of the state of Wyoming, as we are building all the schools for all the children in the state of Wyoming, to complete this project. I think it's safe to say that if we would not have switched directors of the commission, these schools would have already been completed. I spoke directly with the director of the last administration in this lobby not more than a year ago, where he gave me his word that this biennium, that school would be completed. This body funded that project and moved the funding away twice. It's time for us to follow through, to honor our word, to keep our integrity, and to finish these school districts. I don't think there's any district or representative in this body should have any confidence in the system that we have right now if our priorities are allowed to change every time we change directors. It's time for us to make this situation right and to get these children a new school, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a lot of anxiety about interjecting our judgment in here. I heard the new director talk, and I thought, finally, we have some objective criteria in here, and we can take the political process out of this deciding which schools come first. And I was very impressed with the criteria that they were using, and it did rearrange things a little bit. And I can say that none of the schools in my area are at the top of the list, so I don't think I have a dog in the fight. But what I'm really concerned about is now that if we start interjecting our judgment in this, that we will have a big fight here, because we kind of have set this up now to where we have an independent body that's deciding this on measurable criteria. And now if we go in and start prioritizing and changing and second-guessing them, we could have battle royales in here if we all start fighting for our own school districts. So, Madam Chair, I think that we should resist this amendment. I think there's good reason that school perhaps isn't being built, because I would suggest that there's others in the state that have even a greater need.
Representative Harshman.
Madam Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I rise on and against the amendment, the division. Madam Chairman, starting early in January, or in the spring of this year, the School Facilities Commission embarked upon a very great project. And they went out and they met with all of the school districts. And they brought them together three or four times during the year, and they reached a consensus on how you would get together and use data to drive the rating system. And this data is composed of the, let me see, I got it on my notes here. The data is based upon the capacity, the condition, and the educational suitability of the facilities. And ladies and gentlemen of the House, these particular ones here rate right at the rating they get based upon this data is 70. We are funding 115 different projects, and this highest rating of the 115th is 53. You've heard a description of the gentleman from up the road on his facility. Think what some of these other facilities are like, and think of some of the conditions that are there. I handed out a kind of a cross-section from around the state of what the school districts think about this process. I have not had one single school district contact me and didn't urge me to recommend to you that we continue with this process. They're in support of it. If this goes forward, the money that's in this priority will knock out three schools. And those schools are in Pinedale, Kemmer, and Douglas. Thus, you start the fight that the good representative from the North talked about. And then we'll all be down here trying to do these things. This model is driven on data that all of the districts have accepted. And I would urge your defeat of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I have a four-pager I passed out. It's just some copies that probably hit your tray here. Copies of session laws. And while you're getting that out, the good chairman of education is absolutely right. The buildings are scored, you know, with capacity needs, educational suitability, and, of course, the condition of the buildings. By and large, the schools in this state are in poor condition. There's no doubt about it. And I've got, you know, we get all this stuff in appropriations, but this is the list of projects. There's 389 projects statewide. And you think of the score as 1 to 100, just like you think about in your old school days. Well, ideally, we'd like to get into this state where all of our buildings score a 90 or better on those three measures of suitability, capacity, and structural soundness. And when I say suitability, you know, electricity and internet capabilities, all those things for modern schools. Okay, so being we all want to be at 90, that's where we want to be at the end of this process, you know, 20-some years down the road, whatever it is. Given that said, I guess now that you got your statutes out, this amendment talks about the 06 session law and the 07 session law, and it talks about dependencies, and I will say that under the previous administration, it was a quasi-political thing. You actually would go around and you'd say, I give you my word, or, yeah, we're going to get that done for you, and those kind of things. But I think it's important then to read what's actually in the statute. And so I've got that for you on page 1, and they're underlined, and down towards the bottom it says session 06. And it says the budget amounts in the 07-08 biennium, first of all, shall not be construed to be an entitlement or guaranteed amount. And then it shall be expended by the commission in accordance with the design guidelines and so on. Paragraph B, the next part that's underlined, the commission shall determine which projects receive priority for funding and how funds shall be expended. Projects which receive a lower priority than previously assigned shall receive enhanced consideration funding for the next budget cycle. Okay, so you go to the next budget cycle. Flip over to page 3, if you would, please. And these are those 7 session laws. And then the parts that are underlined that I kind of have bracketed there talks about, first of all, in paragraph 1 and A, all projects identified in appendices A, B, and C. Well, and if you read the amendment, it talks about the appendix A, and here's appendix B and C. Now, this is every school facility in the state of Wyoming, from the central services to the place where you store your lawnmowers. And every one of them have scores and all that. Now, appendix A, which the bringer of this amendment talked about, you could look through here, and several of you in your communities will have schools in this appendix A that are not funded. I mean, there's several in Casper. In my local district, we lost, over this new reclassification, we lost the Mills Mountain View schools, two of the older schools in our district, an impoverished area kind of in town. We lost the Evansville school. We have the planning and the land bought and all that. We're assuming to be in on this cycle. And then we also lost the Park School downtown. Was supposed to be in this next cycle. A lot of work's been done, but we've been bumped off the list as well. But as you continue to read then on this 07s, and I guess I would say that is not unusual, and that's in every district in the state. And I think some of the letters from principals and stuff that the good chairman of education handed out will testify to that. But if you read that, then it talks about the parts that are underlined. I'm kind of going down to paragraph B, contained in appendix A, B, and C, by any budget requests. In addition, the commission may expend amounts under this appropriation for projects prioritized and approved by the commission. It gives the commission broad latitude to change priorities. Emergencies happen. Cost overruns happen. We get a bid on a school that was $5 million. It comes in $10 million. We're not going to build it. We're not just going to say, so we're going to work through this process. I guess I would say to you that House or Senate File 22 is a good bill, and it's needed, and it's well supported around the state, and we finally got to a part where it's going to be data-driven. Now, speaking of that data, as the good chairman said, and I just want to repeat it, there's 380-some projects on this latest school facilities commission, and they are all scored out. The one that is in Lingle is 159th out of that 385. The cutoff was 115 with a score of 53. That particular K-5 building, which has had some talk of enhancements and all those things, is cut off at 70. The school in Pine Bluffs, which this affects, is number 191 out of 385. So the current cost, if we move these two at the top of the queue just arbitrarily, then somebody else has got to fall out because we're not adding money to this. And so let's talk about the losers then on this. And it, as I look at this, it's going to be the next one's number 115 was the Pinedale Elementary School building. And then the next one is the Kimmerer Elementary School building. And then it looks like probably a Douglas Primary School. And then a school in Carbon County as well will be right on the close part. And perhaps could get into is into a Bighorn Junior Senior High School. So I guess I would be really careful, because if we get back to this, onto this floor, and I've always told people, you know, most of the votes on this floor aren't Republican Democrat. Most of them are big town, little town, you know, interstates, whatever, regions of the state. And if we get back to the big school, small school days, you know, most of the kids in this state are educated in large schools in about four districts in the state. And that's where most of the representation's at, and that's where the votes are at. I say, for the sake of small schools in this state, which we have done a lot for, and we've really has contributed mightily to the cost of education in this state, stay with this, because that's your protection. It's a data-driven deal, not a politically driven deal. And so I would urge you to defeat this, because I think it endangers the bill. I think it endangers the commission. Literally, I think folks might say, hey, why am I here? And so I think we have to think long and hard. We don't do this with the Highway Commission or other commissions that we trust, and we want to take the political process out. So with that, Madam Chair, I've spoken long enough, and urge you to defeat this division of the Standing Committee Amendment. Thank you for your attention.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaking against this division of the amendment and in favor of the bill, and that's a hard thing to say. It's a hard thing to get up and speak against this particular amendment. The Education Committee was not without sympathy. That's why the amendment is on the floor, because we were sympathetic. We were sympathetic to the plight of the people that the good representative from House District Number 5 was seeking to remedy. We're sympathetic that things fell in the cracks, that administrations changed, and there were a couple of loser schools in that process. We were sympathetic to that. We absolutely were, and it's hard to get up and speak against it. But I would also urge great caution with this particular amendment. The good chair of the House Education Committee did pass out some documents that we all received. We also heard a great deal of testimony. And what we heard was that every school district in the state had the opportunity to be involved in developing the process that did prioritize the facilities projects, that there were representatives from throughout the state, and even those who were disappointed, and there were lots of them that were disappointed. There were lots of them who said, yeah, we got shuffled or we got pushed down. But even those who were disappointed were supportive of the process and urged us to trust the process. The top letter on the handout you got, I believe, says it probably best in terms of if we do not adhere to the process that has been currently laid out for us by the School Facilities Commission, we will be back to a subjective political process, which is what we're trying to avoid. The other issue that I would urge great caution with is this issue is not particularly different. Yes, these people are having some great hardships with the schools, but there are other schools, as has already been alluded to. And that's what is said here. All districts have had projects that were approved in past bienniums that are not being funded this biennium. And this individual says, I feel it will undermine a statewide effort to make the prioritizing of school capital projects more objective and transparent, which is what we want. We don't want the political process that we had before. I would also submit to you that this amendment has no appropriation attached to it. When we asked how much it would cost to fund the two schools that were being discussed, we were told up to $15 million. Now, if there's not an additional $15 million coming in, then obviously other projects are going to have to be shuffled. And once again, we have interfered in the process, and once again, it's a political process. Transitions are hard. It's very hard, and I've been caught in transitions. I know how hard it is to be promised something by one person and denied it by another. It's difficult, and difficult decisions have to be made. But every single piece of testimony we received, including testimony, I might add, from the districts that were involved, personnel from those districts said, we do not want our project to be funded at the expense of others. I believe they were hoping for additional monies to be added on, but that didn't happen. These projects will be funded at the expense of others. And the difficult decisions that were already made, that were hard for all of us, I would urge you to trust this process. It's hard to do, but this is still in its infancy. It was designed to make the process more transparent, to take it out of the political arena. I would ask you to do that rather than take several steps backward by returning us to the very position that we had hoped to avoid. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I voted for this amendment last night, and I'm going to vote for this amendment again today. And I'll tell you that the simple reason is that, in my mind, it's a matter of honor. These two communities, by the School Facilities Commission, were included by school name with dollar amounts in not one, but two budgets that were voted on by this body. And based on that information, these communities took significant steps. I understand that in one of these communities, they have purchased land and they have started evicting people off of that land that were living there. And I guess I come from a place where When you make a commitment, you stand behind it, and you don't change course in midstream. So I don't think this amendment is destroying the whole system that's been set up. I think everyone here agrees that the system that is now in place is a good one. I think there's strong support throughout the state. My contention last night was that for these two schools that were promised, and regardless of the budget footnotes, I think when you see your school name attached to a dollar amount that says your school is going to be replaced, that's a commitment in the mind of most people. And I'm going to choose to stand behind that commitment, and I think it's worth it for these two schools.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Wallace has said it all, and we were talking about prioritizing. What about those communities? Wasn't there any priority then? I haven't heard such much double talk in a long time. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A lot has been said. You've heard all the data, all the background, all the statutes. And let me just say a couple of things. Read the footnotes. This whole process, as outlined for the School Facilities Commission, has been a great assist to us on the Appropriations Committee. We used to sit for days, hours, and wonder, what does this mean? What do these priority lists mean? We now have, as has been presented to us, and we went through a pretty extensive exposure to it, to the process, a system which is reliable, not biased, not subjective, and it's something that this state has made a commitment. If we want to talk about commitments, this state has made a huge commitment to education, and it's expensive. And every time the estimates come back and they're more expensive, they haven't been less expensive yet, we step up to it. And that's our number one obligation. And when you have that much of an obligation fiscally, if no other way, you want to do it in an intelligent way. And you have to do that in a dispassionate way. There are a lot of towns, there are a lot of communities, there are a lot of schools. And the challenge to all of us, no matter what issue we're dealing with, is to step back, not go to the line that's got our thing on it, but go to the top of the chart, the top of the page, see what it is we're talking about and how it's distributed, and acknowledge whether we think that's a fair distribution or not, and read the footnotes. I urge you to oppose this division. Thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chairman, point of order. I believe that would be his second time. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, the majority floor leader is correct. This is my second time, and I wish it wasn't. But I need to come to the microphone and apologize to the body because I evidently misspoke. I cannot find a list of the schools that were indicated to be at the bottom of the list as a good representative from Natrona County indicated, but one of the schools that he did name happens to be a school that's not in my district but is in my county. So even though I may not have a dog, I have a stray. Thank you.
Representative Korberg.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess I'd like a little bit of explanation about this new rating system, and if someone could explain to me how often that data is reviewed and how often the chairs are all reshuffled depending on new data that is interjected into the mix over a period of time.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am for the division of the amendment. We made this commitment to these folks. They've already spent money. I think we follow through. But more importantly, what my concern is that once these two schools get bumped off, under this new formula, I don't think they'll ever get back up there for quite a long time. And the reason is, under the new formula, which is using three different components, capacity, meaning how many people are in your school, condition of your building, is it falling down, and educational suitability, meaning do you have the internet in it or whatever. And they're not all weighted the same. Educational suitability, I think, is just 10% of the number. The problem is, because one of my schools got bumped, the Dubois High School. We had a big town hall meeting a month ago because they couldn't believe they got bumped, and we had to have this long explanation of why we got bumped off. Most of the town folks came to the conclusion that we'll probably never get back up near onto the list for quite a long time because our high school's falling down. I mean, if you ever come to Dubois, you'll see it. It's teetering. The problem is we're losing population in Dubois, so our capacity keeps decreasing. So even though our condition number is a good number, I mean, for getting a new school, our capacity number keeps bringing it down. So I'm not sure if this really is a great new formula, because if you're from a small community that's losing population, you are always going, and your building could be falling down, you're always going to lose in this new system. So my concern for these two schools is we gave them a commitment and we say, well, we'll get back to you later. Because they're from communities that may be losing population, I don't see them getting back on that list anytime soon. And what I would point out, it was sort of funny. The new director came to talk to me, and I asked to see the list. And what was funny to see the schools above Dubois High School, one of the schools that was way up on the list was the brand new Wilson Elementary School in Wilson, Wyoming, in Teton County. What was funny about that is it's a new school. It's state-of-the-art school. It's amazing. But because a lot of folks like their children to go to Wilson, it's sort of the cool school to send your kids to. They have high capacity, so it drove their numbers way up. And so they went way up the list, even though it's a brand new school. I mean, we wouldn't be redoing that school anytime soon, but because of the capacity thing. So I'm not sure if this formula is the best thing in the world, and I'd urge you to vote in favor and help these two schools out.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment. The testimony in the committee was yesterday that I thought all of the districts were in support of the new rating system. So if it's that flawed, I'm sure that they'd be willing to say something about it. As we all know, that the districts are quite vocal about what they think is right. Let's take a step back. Okay, what did we promise? You know, if the director of the School Facilities Commission said something, he doesn't bind this body. Okay, what we said is in what was handed out to you, and it's clear what it says. It says that shall not be construed to be an entitlement or guaranteed amount. Every single school in the state that needs capital construction is in the appendix, both budgets. So anybody could argue if I'm in the appendix, there was a representation made to me. Not all of them could argue that the school facilities director said, you know, well, we're going to build it for you. But by law, he can't bind this body. So further what we said, look at line in the 2006 budget. In paragraph B, the second sentence, projects which receive a lower priority than previously assigned shall receive enhanced consideration for funding in the next budget cycle. Okay, we said that in 2006. We changed that last year. Look at 2007. That line is stricken from the subparagraph. So we made the policy choice last year that we would not allow the previous, you know, to receive enhanced consideration. And we continued the language about how these are not to be construed to be an entitlement or guaranteed amount. I suggest to you that what's important in this decision is what the session laws say and what we as a body passed, not what anyone may have said, not whether it appeared in the appendix, and unfortunately not what those districts may have spent in anticipation of being of building. Because, I mean, in the legal profession, in contract interpretation, you look at the four corners of the document. And if it's clear and unambiguous, that's all that matters. So, you know, we've had other situations in school construction where other districts felt that maybe their rating was wrong or they deserved enhanced consideration. But we said, no, you can't have it. And we made that choice last year. So to me, it's a pretty clear decision that we have made these policy choices. You can't disregard the budget footnotes because they're clear. And we're preserving the integrity of our budgeting system and what we put into our statutes and our session laws. It's not always fair, and it will not, it will never be totally fair. But it's clear what we said. And unfortunately, those schools have dropped out. And if the rating is 70 and they're at 159 and, you know, they're 35 down the list. Well, there's a reason for that. And some of those things that were discussed were remedied. The asbestos, I believe, was abated. If I'm incorrect, that can be addressed. A boiler was replaced. That district has a new elementary school and they're building a new middle school. We have not forsaken them. We have done what the commission determined was their priority based on the rating system and based upon the authority that we gave them to make those choices. So I would urge you to support the integrity of this body and this budgeting system and what we put into the statutes and the session laws. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm very much opposed to this division of the amendment. You know, I had heard, let's start with a clean slate. What makes anyone believe the slate needs clean in the first place? Or that somehow the change of a director was damaging to certain districts, or that some are being neglected or even overlooked? There are very few of us left on this floor that were here during the last pipeline project schools, or when we used to debate right here on this floor whose buildings were more needed than anyone else's. I believe the process that we currently have works as it is. I believe it is based on a sound system that analyzes all needs from high to low. It rates them. What I know is that the method that we used to use prior to the year 2002 was seriously flawed. Are there other schools in the state that have sewer, gas, poor ADA qualities, and electrical problems? They'll rate them. I'll tell you, there are 60 people here on this floor and 30 in the other end of the building that could more than likely give great rationale for their districts just as well as anyone else. Nobody's being cheated. How could they? At the rate of $400 million or more per year for 80, 90,000 students, how could they be? All schools are continuously being appraised and assessed. If they are as poor as those you've been told about, they'll receive some attention in due time when those that are worse than they are have been taken care of. I've seen both methods. Stay the course. Have a little bit of faith in the people that we hire or that someone hires in state government to make the objective and informed decisions based on a global point of view. How do we know that the system is now flawed? Perhaps it was flawed a director ago. But why should we lay blame on anyone? It was just a way of doing business. But then one wouldn't really know unless one had been here to know the arguments that took place back in those days. Does the change of a director mean that the previous one was better or worse than the replacement? I suppose it would if the answer was not exactly the way you wanted it to be. Do you know, a lot of these discussions would be muted if local residents in any school district were required to bond up to 3% of the cost of building a new building. I guarantee a lot of them would improve in value. If we consider the change of a director, every time we have a change in director, say the director of the Department of Health, all of a sudden we have a new director. Was the old one a little bit more perfect than the new one? Was the old one worse than the new one? It all depends on your point of view, I guess, and how that director behaved and acted. The previous director I served with in the legislature here, he was an architect. He was and remains a great individual, and he had a system. It was different than the current director. I know the new director. I've known him for many, many years. He's an engineer. He knows his stuff, just like the previous director did, but they have different ways of doing things. They have different analysis methods, and it is simply a way of coming around to the proper answer. You're never going to get the same answer out of different people. I am very much opposed to this division of the amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say something about what was just discussed in the priorities and the changes that occur. One of the speakers a couple times ago said in 06, and it says right in the statute that we will have the ability to change your mind, and it's kind of up to the discretion. And then in the 07 supplementary budget, this same person signs on, and we voted as a body to fund this. And so I just think as we, the process we have now, everybody's talking very favorably about it, and I will too. But we also have just got through saying that we've given the new director a lot of authority, and as we give more authority, why won't it change, you know, next year or something? So I'm just a little bit a myth at the change in direction and the not following through, and are we going to follow through with the new process that we have now, which appears to be a very good one? So those are my concerns, and I empathize with the districts we're talking about, and I still stick up for them. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I don't want to belabor this issue, but on and against the amendment. I think it's important to remember that we have a statute, pages in the green books that cover this project or process, rules and regulations. No one has suggested that the decision to reprioritize has violated a statute, violated rules and regs. And if there were a violation to that effect, this would not be the place to resolve it. You can't come back to the legislature every time an agency does something that you disagree with. We'd never do anything else. That's not how the process works. And so we have to follow the statute, we have to follow the rules, and we can't second guess the administrative decisions that were made unless we want to rewrite the statute and rewrite the rules, which is not what is in front of us now. I think it's also important to remember that school finance in some form or another has been litigated in this state since my good friend from Campbell County and I were in junior high. And let's face it, he's losing his hair and I'm wearing bifocals. So we have not been in junior high for a long time. And he didn't even hear me. So I think we have a process that works. We're finally done with school finance litigation. And let's honor the process that everyone's agreed on. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to repeat everything that has been said. I just want to answer a couple of issues that have been raised. One is there's been a lot of talk about people being bumped from the list. No one was bumped from the list. This is the list, and we all of us on the Education Committee have it, and you can all look at it. It's prioritized. So it is not a question of, oops, you're off the list, and will you ever get back on it? What it is, it's priority. We heard testimony in committee that it looked like, in terms of the amount of money budgeted, the first 115 on the list would receive their funding this year. The statement was also made, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So it's not like you're bumped off the list. The two schools in question are number 159 and number 172 out of 384. So please don't think it's a bumped and you have to reapply. This is a prioritization. I also don't believe anyone addressed the questions that were raised by the good representative from House District 28. About how often does this shuffling around occur, and how often are we going to look at these rules? This is a brand new process that was done with consensus from representatives from every school district in the state. The director is new. Hopefully, he'll be with us for a very long time. We're hoping that we won't have to repeat that process, but it shouldn't be an every year kind of thing. This was developed with great thought, with great input, and from the testimony we received, collaboration from all the districts involved. So I just wanted to address those two particular issues that were raised. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I guess they call me the Campbell County hairless. A lot has been discussed about promises and what was the promise that we made as this body. Well, the promise was that we rank schools fairly with objective criteria that we rate determined on a basis of a whole series of factors. And that was the promise that we made. And that was the promise that every school district in this state believed and bought onto. We've now been made a request to make an exception, just a little exception for this one, based upon something that somebody said a couple years ago. Well, that's a dangerous door to open, and brothers and sisters of the 59th, if we vote for this amendment, get ready for the flood, because we're breaking our promise. And if you did it for this one, you're going to be asked by everybody in your district, if you did it for them, why don't you try it for me?
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And don't want to saw any more sawdust on this deal, but I want to just make one point that I don't think was brought up in the discussion. It's really about the Campbell 4 Supreme Court case, the decision, and we all celebrate at the beginning of this legislative session that we're finally out of litigation, and part of the problem with that that the Supreme Court had in Campbell 4 was the legislatively driven system that couldn't move swiftly to address priority changes, emergencies, inflation, those kind of things. And so I think that's a huge part of this deal, and I think this bill is a good bill. It complies with the new system that was requested in the Campbell 4 decision. And, you know, I would just go back. This was done with everybody in the state. The superintendent from Goshen County Schools was there. The good superintendent from Laramie County, who was at the meeting last night, said although she didn't like her school being bumped, she supports the process. At the time this was developed, nobody expressed concerns about reprioritization. It's a part of the process. And so I think it's important to vote no. We finally have a first truly data-driven system and a statewide system because it's state dollars. And the good speaker talked about tax cuts. We now have 43 mills statewide for schools. We used to have 46, so everybody got a tax break during school reform. You know, the three that could be done locally without a vote of the people. Everybody was doing those three mills. So everybody's had a tax break. It's been rolled back to the state. Its statewide dollars should follow a truly non-political, data-driven, transparent, statewide process for state dollars. Because I tell you, this deal passes. I teach in the grand old dame at Natrona County, and you talk about an old girl that needs some work now. And so we don't want to get into this deal. Let the process work. Let's all sit back. In time, it'll all be taken care of. So urge your no vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against this division, the good speaker talked about the history, and there were only two of us, I think, on the floor that were on the Education Committee in 2000, 2001, and 2002. And it was a bad process where everybody came in, they would send their kids, they would send their teachers, they would get email blasts to influence the direction that we would spend money through the Education Committee. And believe me, you don't want to get into that again. What at least I hear and what I read and what I've seen in the budgeting process, we do have a system that's data-based as opposed to who can drum up the most emotion about a particular commitment through the Education Committee to the school system. So I'd urge your vote no on this second division.
An hour later, Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I had no idea, but I'm glad we're passionate. Madam Chairman, the fact is that these districts received documentation that said you are funded and approved. That's the reality. I'm not questioning the data-driven system that we have now. We're going to let that thing run, and I think it's going to work fine. But the point of this is, there are some schools that have been caught in the lurch. They've fallen through the cracks, and I believe that it inherently discriminates against small schools because we don't have enough people to pack that building out. If that building was full of kids, we'd be at the top of the list, and that's just the fact. It's time for the state to step up to the plate and follow its obligation, and I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think any one of you would be doing anything different than what I'm doing right here if this was you. I think I've done my duty, and I would call for the question.
With question being called, we are on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Division 2, to Senate File 22. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. We're back on the bill. Is there any more discussion on the bill? Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 22 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 22 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 25, recommended do pass. Senate File 30, recommended do pass. Senate File 76, recommended do pass. Senate File 81, Representative Simpson announced a conflict on interest of Senate File 81, recommended do pass. Senate File 66, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 13, Representative Lubnow announced a conflict of interest on Senate File 13, recommended do pass. Senate File 36, recommended do pass. Senate File 63, recommended do pass. Senate File 87, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 22, amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Millen, Chairman.
Representative Millen.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Congratulations, Representative.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Y'all on the floor, you got a new type, new color of a bill. It's salmon colored. And if you'll notice on the left-hand side, it says engrossed with standing committee amendments through second reading. This is Senate File 11. This is the subdivisions. We did this so that you could see what all of the amendments would look like in a bill so that you can hear it tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the House. That engrossed version that you have is the engrossed version as it came down from the Senate, including first and second reading amendments from this floor. It does not, however, include any third reading amendments that might be on your desk in the morning. Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 5 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 40 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 65, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Shepperson, Throne. Signed, Representative Olson, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 26 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Illaway, Martin, Meyer, Miller, Quarberg, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. No, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
Bill re-referrals. Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have Senate File 26 re-referred to Committee 2 Appropriations.
Without objection, Senate File 26 is re-referred from Committee Number 7 to Committee Number 2. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of requests to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is in message number 183 on House Bill 30. Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 30 and message 183 and ask you to vote aye. Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate amendment on this basically deleted July 1st, 2008 and made the legislation effective immediately upon all acts necessary for it to become law.
We are now voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 30. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, aye. Anderson, aye. Bagby, aye. Berger, aye. Blake, aye. Brechtel, aye. Brown, aye. Buchanan, aye. Childers, aye. Kraft, aye. Davison, aye. Dirks, aye. Dockstetter, aye. Edmonds, aye. Edwards, aye. Esquivel F., aye. Esquivel K., aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubno, aye. Madden, aye. Martin, aye. McComey, aye. Mercer, aye. Meyer, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Olson, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp, aye. Korberg, aye. Samuelson, aye. Simlek, aye. Shepperson, aye. Simpson, aye. Slater, Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Warren, aye. White, aye. Swanitzer Dan, aye. Swanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 30. The next message for our consideration is in message 184. On House Bill 36, Representative Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 36, message 184, and ask for your aye vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the amendments made on the other side, basically page 19, line 20, the word B was accidentally left out, so it was a grammar correction, so now it reads B, a valid. And then the second change was on page 20, lines 2 through 7. The Senate deleted all of 34-26-110, which had said that this would be considered a uniform bill in regards to other states. And a lot of times what happens if you do that, other states' courts interpret that uniform law, and then their case law can be, I guess, binding on our law. And so they took that out, so it's a case law issue. And again, I urge you to vote aye on the concurrence.
We are now voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 36. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden, Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstetter, Edmonds, Edwards, aye. Esquivel F., aye. Esquivel K., aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan, aye. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Eichel, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jones, aye. Jorgensen, Jorgensen. Aye. Landon. Aye. Lockhart. Aye. Lubno. Aye. Madden. Aye. Martin. Aye. McComey. Aye. Mercer. Aye. Meyer. Aye. Miller. Aye. Millen. Aye. Olson. Aye. Peterson. Aye. Philp. Aye. Korberg. Aye. Samuelson. Aye. Simlick. Shepperson. Simpson. Aye. Slater. Aye. Stewart. Aye. Stubson. Aye. Teeters. Aye. Thompson. Aye. Throne. Aye. Wallace. Aye. Warren. Aye. White. Aye. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 36. The next message for our consideration is in Message 191 on House Bill 55. Chairman Samuelson.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on Message Number 191, which is House Bill 55, and I urge you to vote aye. Mr. Speaker, what the Senate did was remove an amendment that had been put on in this body, which can be found. I had it just a minute ago. Oh, yes. I apologize for that. On page 3, lines 17 through 20, we had exempted anybody on their own land from they could drill their own wells without being licensed. And then also on page 6, there was just a little bit of clerical language to clear up on the fees, added some language said for each application for a permit. But the real meat of this the amendment that was on in the Senate was to remove that you can drill a well on your own land. And, Mr. Speaker, I guess probably the reasons for that is it's one thing what you do on your own land, but unfortunately those aquifers go under everybody's land. They're under your neighbors. They're under your neighbors several miles away. Contaminants in the aquifers travel. Some of them travel the speed of light faster than water can go. It's just amazing how they do it. Now, the way this bill left here, if you we've been talking a lot about Senate File 11 with the subdivisions. You could borrow a water well, Mr. Speaker, and go drill on all your neighbor's land and not be licensed. Now, what we are finding so much in this state, and it is getting just rampant, are there these wells mostly are not being sealed at the surface. That's where the contaminants enter. In my line of work, those contaminants are just manure. But there's worse things out there. Contaminants around some of the private properties. You get pesticides. You get fertilizers, you get motor oils, and these are what are being found, and particularly over in the county to the west of us. They have a very sensitive aquifer, and anytime you're drilling, you need to have the expertise. Now, one thing we see a lot of these people that are cutting corners and drilling these wells for little or no cost, they don't spend a lot of money on bentonite. They don't spend a lot of money on cement. Those are the things that seal the well. So, Mr. Speaker, I agree with the Senate on this amendment, and I ask you to vote aye.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will be the third time that I have fought to keep this provision in this bill on the floor. I would just ask the body to stay with me one more time. Well construction standards are already in full force. This permitting process has absolutely nothing to do with that. Permits are required to drill wells whether you're licensed or not. The state engineer has the authority to exercise how many gallons of water are coming out of the ground. This does not affect aquifer safety or any other issue. The fact is there are many producers that do drill their own water wells in my part of the country, and I think it's our duty to protect their right to do that. And I would ask the body to vote no on concurrence and give us a chance to talk about this in Senate so we can get their perspective. Thank you.
Further discussion. We are now voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. No. Childers. No. Kraft. Aye. Davison. No. Dirks. No. Dockstetter. No. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. No. Esquivel F. Aye. Esquivel K. Aye. Gilmore. Aye. Gingery. No. Goggles. No. Hales. Aye. Hallinan. No. Hammonds. Aye. Harshman. No. Harvey. No. Eichel. No. Illaway. Yagi, no. Jones, no. Jorgensen, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubno, no. Madden, no. Martin, aye. McComey, no. Mercer, no. Meyer, aye. Miller, no. Millen, aye. Olson, no. Peterson, aye. Philp, no. Korberg, no. Samuelson, aye. Simlick, no. Shepperson, no. Simpson, no. Slater, Slater? No. Stewart? Aye. Stubson? No. Teeters? No. Thompson? Aye. Throne? Aye. Throne? Aye. Wallace? No. Warren? Aye. White? No. Zwanitzer Dan? Aye. Zwanitzer Dave? Aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore? Aye to no. Brown? Aye to no. Bagby? Aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 26 ayes, 34 noes.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. The next message for our consideration is in Message 192 on House Bill 89. Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Bill 89, Message 192. And ladies and gentlemen, I would ask for your aye vote on the Senate amendments, just briefly taking you through the changes. On page 2, line 23, they deleted the words "of any size and whether," and on 24, "vacant or filled." So now the term pore space is defined to mean subsurface space, which can be used as storage space for carbon dioxide or other substances. Continuing on to page 3, the words injected into space after the word substances is deleted, and for storage on line 2 is deleted. Continuing on page 3, starting on line 7 after the word estate, they inserted a period and deleted all of that, the rest of the language on line 7 through 11. And I think they, on page 4, line 12, they took out the word storage, so that section that we had added in committee regarding previously acquired rights now reads, "Nothing in this section shall alter, amend, diminish, or invalidate rights to the use of subsurface pore space that were acquired by contract or lease prior to July 1st, 2008. And that is all. And request your aye vote. And the good representative from Campbell County might have a comment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is the reason my hair is falling out. I urge you to vote to concur.
Well, at that risk, we are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 89. A majority of the elected members is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson. Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin, McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 89. Conference Committee on House Bill 55. Representative Dirks, Chair. Representative Teeters. Representative Dan Zwanitzer. Committee announcements. Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs will meet immediately upon adjournment today in room H-17 to discuss Senate File 84, Firemen's Pensions Account Amendments, Senate File 83, Retirement, Rehired Retirees, and Senate File 88, Engrossed Inmate, Medical Parole.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet Friday morning, February the 29th at 8 a.m. in room H-10 to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet in 8:17 tomorrow at noon to hear Senate File 47, Wyoming State Training School Amendments, Senate File 24, Health Insurance, Clinical Trials, and reconsider Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Project.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Revenue Committee will not meet tomorrow morning Governor's Prayer Breakfast. It'll be in Little America in the morning.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 9:15 in room H-18 to hear Senate File 12, Dispensing Room Products, and to get some additional ideas for interim study.
Chairman Philp.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow at noon to discuss Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians. That's a re-referred bill. Senate File 26, Business Entities Registered Agents, and that's also a re-referred bill. And that'll be in room 204. Also on adjournment, the Conference Committee on House Bill 1 will continue on their deliberations with the like committee in the Senate in room 204. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow, Friday, February 29, 2008, at 9 a.m. in H-8 to consider Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess in room 302, where we will take up Senate File 70, Engaged School Finance Amendments, Senate File 54, Engrossed Other School Finance Rebate Recapture, Senate File 29, Engrossed Public Library Endowment Challenge Program.
Further announcements. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I passed out a general file list for tomorrow. Senate File 62 was re-referred to appropriation, so that will not be up second when we do general file. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until Friday, February 29th, 2008 at 10 a.m.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed say no. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Friday, the 29th, what is that, leap year day of February.